Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 22, Bali Maharaj surrenders his life. And I'm just going to read the translation for text number 12. Sukadeva Goswami said, O best of the Kurus, while Bali Maharaj was describing his fortunate position this way, the most dear devotee of the Lord, Prahlad Maharaj, appeared there like the moon rising in the nighttime. Then Bali Maharaj saw his grandfather, Prahlad, the most fortunate personality, whose dark body resembled black ointment for the eyes. His tall, elegant figure was dressed in yellow garments, and he had long arms, and his beautiful eyes were like the petals of a lotus. He was very dear and pleasing to everyone. Being bound by the ropes of Varuna, Bali Maharaj could not offer befitting respect to Prahlad Maharaj as he had before. Rather, he simply offered respectful obeisances with his head, his eyes being inundated with tears and his face lowered in shame. Purport. Since Bali Maharaj had been arrested by the Lord Vamadadeva, he was certainly to be considered an offender. But Bali Maharaj certainly felt that he was an offender. Bali Maharaj seriously felt that he was an offender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Certainly Prahlad Maharaj would not like this. Therefore, Bali Maharaj was ashamed and hung his head. When the great personality Prahlad saw that the Supreme Lord was sitting there, surrounded and worshipped by his intimate associates like Sunanda, he was overwhelmed with tears of jubilation. Approaching the Lord and falling down to the ground, he offered obeisances to the Lord with his head. Text number 16. Shri Puradu Vacha Tasyaiva Datam Para Aindram Urjitam Kritam Hitam Kritam Tad Evadya Tathaiva Shobanam Manye Mahan Asya Krito Yanugraho. Vibram Shito Yat Triya Atma Mohanat. Shri Paradu Vacha. Prahlad Maharaj said, Twaya, by your lordship, Eva, indeed, Datam, which had been given, Padam, this position, Andram, of the King of Heaven, Orjitam, very, very great. Tata, Ritam, has been taken away. Tat, that, Eva, indeed, Adya, today, Tata, as, Eva, indeed, Shobanam, beautiful, Manye, I consider, Mahan, very great. Asya, of him. Bali Maharaj, Kritaha, has been done by you. He, indeed, Anugrahaya, mercy. Vibramushitaha, being bereft of. Yet, because, Shriya, from that opulence, Atma Mohanat, which was covering the process of self-realization. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Prahlad Maharaj said, My Lord, it is your lordship who gave this Bali the very great opulence of the post of the Heavenly King. And now, today, it is you who have taken it away, all away. I think that you have acted with equal beauty in both ways, because of his exalted position as the King of Heaven, was putting him in the darkness of ignorance. You have done him a great merciful favor by taking away all his opulence. Purport. As it is said, Yasyaham anugranami harishe tadanam shanai. The Bhagavatam 10:88:8. It is by the mercy of the Lord that one gets all material opulence. But if such material opulence causes one to become puffed up and forget the process of self-realization, the Lord certainly takes away all the opulence away. The Lord bestows mercy upon his devotee by helping him find out his constitutional position. For that purpose, the Lord is always ready to help the devotee in every way. But material opulence is sometimes dangerous because it diverts one's attention to false prestige by giving one the impression that he is the owner and master of everything he surveys. Although actually this is not the fact. To protect the devotee from such a misunderstanding, the Lord allows showing special mercy, sometimes takes away his material possessions. Yasya anugrahami harishe tadanam shanai. Material life is a life of illusion. Because actually there's no such thing as anything apart from Krishna, but when one thinks that there's something apart from Krishna, that's called material life. So generally speaking, if one doesn't have very much material opulence, then it's less likely. But if one has material opulence, then one actually believes that the material opulence is oneself, belongs to one, and therefore there's every opportunity to become proud. And as soon as we become proud, as it says, Krishna Bahir Mukha Bhagavan Chitari Ikatasta Tari Japatiyadari, that Maya is standing right next to us. And as soon as we turn our face away from Krishna, then Maya comes and puts us into the material concept of life. Then one believes that one is the enjoyer, the controller, and so many things. Idam adhyamaya labdva mano mano idam adhyamaya labdva idam asti mani me idam adhyamaya labdva. So much is mine, and I'll gain more according to my schemes. Idam adhyamaya labdva imam prapse manoritam. Manoritam, riding the chariot of the mind, one thinks that I have gotten so many things today and I'll get more in the future. So much is mine, so much money I have, and I'll get more and more. But actually, at no moment does anything belong to us. It doesn't matter how much illusion we're in, or whatever the cause of illusion is, we don't really control anything directly. We desire, and when we agree to utilize whatever we have in Krishna's service, whatever is within our sphere of influence, then Krishna gives us the intelligence how to use it. And if we do it to please him, then Krishna reveals himself to us. But the most fundamental principle of Maya is that we're the controller. Bhoktaram yagatapasam sarvalokamaheshwaram suridam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shantimrichati. The way of getting out of all Maya is to recognize that Krishna is the proprietor of everything, even the demigods, even the heavenly planets, Krishna, everything there belongs to him. And in the real sense, because he says, yo yam, yo yam 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 tanum bhakta, shari architam ichchami, tasyam tasyacharam sharam, tam eva vididam yaham. That I'm in everyone's heart as a super soul, and as soon as one desires to worship the super soul, I make his faith steady so that he can obtain his particular benediction from that super soul. In other words, even the super soul has Krishna in the heart, even the demigod has Krishna in the heart, the demigod can act independently of Krishna, and that whatever benediction the demigod is seemingly delivering is actually coming from Krishna, by Krishna's arrangement, through his energies. Therefore, if one believes himself to be, in any situation, the controller, then one is in Maya. Now, of course, to know who the real controller is, that's the best thing, that Krishna is the real controller. But Chanaka Pandit says, even if you don't know who the real controller is, at least you should know that there is some controller, and it doesn't belong to you. Everybody says, Matrivat Paradareshu, Paradwareshu Lostravat, Atmavat Sarabhuteshu, Yakpashiti Sapanditaha. So even to become a human being, or a person, human being is supposed to have some knowledge. Prabhupada said that human beings start at the stage of being a pundit. Because what's the difference between a human being and an animal? We may have a very nice dog. We may love it very much. We may think it loves us also. But if you ask the dog, can you please recite a verse from the Bhagavad Gita? He doesn't even know what the Bhagavad Gita is. He thinks it's something he can rest his head on. That's as much as he gets into the Bhagavad Gita. It's as close to it as he gets. For him, the Bhagavad Gita is the same thing as the Sunday newspaper that they put out. But a human being, he has the opportunity to become a human being. Because it says, Jayatam Sudra. How does that go? Janmanaye Jayate Shudra. By birth, we were all born as a Shudra. Janmana Jayate Shudra. Jayate means to be born as a Shudra. So is that a criticism? The speaker of the Bhagavatam is calling everyone a Shudra. He must think he's a Brahmin, everyone else is a Shudra. So he's getting on everyone's case now. Now what does a Shudra mean? It means one who's lamenting. If we ever lament, we must be a Shudra. What are we lamenting? And why do we think we're this body? Because we want to enjoy this body and we can't do it. Therefore we lament. Oh, if only it was a little stronger, a little healthier, a little more beautiful, a little more handsome, a little wealthier, then I could enjoy. But I'm not. So therefore I have to suffer. That's called Shudra. I want a body that doesn't grow old. But it's growing old. Stop, stop. Oh my God, what to do to stop this thing from going old? Oh, let me cry in my pillow. Maybe that will stop. Oh! It doesn't stop. It keeps on growing old. So that's called Shudra. And because, why is that? Because we think we're the proprietor. And we think we're the enjoyer. And therefore we'll put in the Bali concept of life only to be frustrated. That we can't enjoy, we can't control. We can't control our bodies. What to speak of anything else? Hiranyakashipu, he had the good idea, if I'm going to control the universe, if I really want to control the universe, let me stop my body from growing old. He couldn't do it. He got a seemingly healthy body due to his austerity. Still, he got sick. He developed a very acute stomach problem and died. So even he couldn't stop his own death. What to speak of our little selves? What can we do? We see a gray hair, do we pluck it out? Oh, you rascal hair. How dare you? Who do you think you are, spoiling my life? So that's, Chanaka Pandit says, paradwareshu lostravat. Not to be hankering after something other than what we already have. Because that puts us in maya immediately. It makes us feel bad. I don't have that position. I don't have that wealth. I don't have that influence. And if I had it, then I'd be happy. And when we get it, we're still miserable. And we think, Maya says, no, it wasn't that that you wanted. It was something else that you need to make your material life complete. Just like Jai Dwaitamara said, what starts out as courting, relationship between men and women, and especially in Kali Yuga, winds up in court. We think, I need this, I need that. But actually, then when we get it, we think, this is not what I needed. This is not what I thought it was going to be. And matrivat paradareshu. From the material point of view, everything looks like we want to see what it would taste like, how we can enjoy it with one of our senses. Looking for beautiful objects, trying to feel something that feels good, trying to taste something that tastes good, smell something that's pleasing, look at something that's pleasing. We're always trying to see something pleasing to our senses. And when Krishna's not there, then the spirit of enjoyment must be there. Otherwise, why are we looking at it? Why are we smelling it? Why are we trying to taste it? The spirit of enjoyment is there. And it's not for Krishna. It's for me. Because if Krishna's not there, who is it for? And of course, it winds up eventually when the senses become agitated enough. Then it's love, so-called romance in the material world. Just like in the spiritual world, there are different stages of development of rasa. In the neutral stage, oh, just enjoy, just look at it, smell it, taste it. And then, all right, let's have a relationship with it, serve it. And then as that relationship develops, then there's some kind of friendship, exchange, mutual interest, and then there's the parental, let me take care of it, and then finally there's unlimited enjoyment, try to gratify oneself unlimitedly. That's in the material world, and it's a reflection of the spiritual world. So even at the beginning when we're just trying to smell something good, something that smells pleasing, it's not the end of the story. Then we want to utilize it. When I have my romantic partner, then we have nice flowers, and we have nice incense in order to establish a very good romantic mood. And my servants come in and show my opulence, and all my friends glorify me, and my parents, they're all kings and queens. And therefore establishes the proper romantic mood. Just like in the spiritual world, Radha and Krishna, they're not ordinary persons, they're all, Krishna is the son of Nanda Maharaj, who's a king. And Mother Jasoda, who's a queen. And Radharani is the daughter of Vrishabhanu and Kirtida, who are kings and queens. So everyone wants to have good parentage, to show, you know, to think I'm royalty. You're not associating with an ordinary person, you're associating with the prince or princess. And therefore every little girl, at least in America, they dress her like a little princess. So she can feel like she's a princess. Did they ever dress you like that? Yes, of course. Because everyone wants to be a prince or a princess. So in the material world, we start out just smelling things, and then we arrange things in order to, ultimately it winds up as the conjugal relationship in the material world. Romeo and Juliet, Tarzan and Jane, Mickey Mouse, Minnie Mouse, the Queen and King Ant. And therefore, Matrivat Paradareshu. At least if we're going to be an illusion, Chanaka Pandit says, at least start out with a limited illusion. Don't look at every woman and think, what would she be like if she joins my harem? And every man, if I get his wealth and I get his wealth and I get his wealth, how rich will I be? How much influence will I have? So at least, Matrivat Paradareshu, if you have one wife, then you can see her as your wife, but don't look at every woman as, even your mother in some cultures, as a potential wife. And Atmavat, so therefore Krishna is the Bhoktaram Jagatapasam. He's the actual enjoyer. Now, we may not look at everyone as my potential wife, but then, we don't know who actually this lady belongs to, who this man belongs to. But if we know it belongs to Krishna, that's even a better detachment. Because if we please Krishna, then we'll see who we actually are. We may not claim ourselves to be the enjoyer or the proprietor, but if we find out who we actually are, simply the servant of Krishna, and if we have transcendental love and affection, and ecstasy in serving Krishna with our spiritual senses, then the attraction for material happiness disappears, because material happiness is just the minimal reflection of real happiness. And Atmavat Sarabhuteshu, to see all living entities as being oneself, like oneself, to desire to help every living entity, just like one would want to help one be helped. So Krishna is the real friend. He sees everyone in relationship to himself, because everyone's an expansion of Krishna, and therefore he sees everyone just like his dear part and parcel, a dear son or daughter, and he simply has affection for them and tries to help them. So that's the perfection of knowledge. That's the perfection of consciousness. And sometimes it says here, yasyanu gurahami karishe tadanamishanai. Sometimes Krishna sees that we get something and we become proud because we have it. We think I'm better than others because I have this. One of the six opulences more than someone else has. We look at someone and think, who are you compared to me? Do you know who I am? And everyone goes, no, who are you? And I go, well, actually, I don't know either. But anyhow, that's not the point. The point is, I have more material opulence than you are, therefore I'm far ahead of you. Far ahead of me? Yeah. Where are you going? Where are you? With that consciousness, you're in hell. I'm glad you're far ahead of me. Tell me how the temperature is. Now, when we look at someone, immediately Maya will say, well, you're not an ordinary person, because compared to you, you're super. And therefore, we feel proud. Immediately, we feel proud. So we think, oh, poor Bali Maharaj. Krishna had to take away the universe because he was feeling proud. We feel proud because we have an extra pencil than someone. Look at my plate. They gave me an extra maha sweet. I'm special. What about you? Wow, you're low down. No good. You look sad. And you deserve to be sad. Because you're not worshiping the supreme. Who's that? Me. If you look around, you see I have more sweets on my plate than anyone. So I'm, right now, in that regard, I'm the supreme. And if you're If you're kind and surrender to me, if you're then I can be merciful and I'll give you one of my sweets too. Ah, benediction. Here's my mercy. Oh, thank you, thank you. So in the material world, we're looking for some reason to feel ourselves proud. Maya is so kind, she's supplying it all the time. Everyone we look at, we find some reason why I'm better than you. And if we feel inferior to someone, then we're envious. So either we're proud or we're envious, and they're both about the same thing. Then we get into a whole other thing. Well, I'm inferior to you, but small is beautiful. So I may be less powerful, I may be less learned, but I'm still more beautiful because my consciousness is so humble. So everyone is looking for some reason to be proud, as it says in English. Even in the material world, the pauper is proud of his penny. And so that's material consciousness. It's not just I'm lamenting or I'm hankering by myself in solitude. That's possible. But actually I'm hankering, lamenting everywhere I'm looking. All the time. But I'm not aware of it because I'm unconscious, because I'm not Krishna conscious. Therefore, I'm unconscious and my whole life is miserable, hankering, lamenting. It's probably the first lecture I heard Prabhupada give in Buffalo 1969, personally. And Prabhupada was there, he said, we only have two things in the material world. We hanker for what we don't have and we lament over what we've lost. That's our only business in the material world. And Krishna consciousness means we hanker for Krishna and we lament that we don't have him. So hankering and lamenting is eternal. The question is what we're hankering, what we're lamenting for, that's all. If we're hankering and lamenting for Krishna, then we won't be envious of anyone. We won't be lamenting and hankering in this competition. If we're Krishna conscious. Otherwise, that's all that's going on, is just hankering, lamenting. And then looking at everyone else and seeing where I'm in the competition. Whereas Prabhupada said, when he went to die in Nipan, you heard of die in Nipan? Probably not. It's in the Lilamrita. It's a publishing company in Japan. And Prabhupada was getting some books published there. Like the Krishna book was being published, first Krishna books we had. And so Prabhupada was traveling and he took some of the devotees there, some sannyasis, and there was Tama Krishna Maharaj was there, and some other sannyasis were there, Karanda was there. And they were negotiating, and Prabhupada was giving a huge price. Tama Krishna Maharaj was giving a very, very low price for the publishing of the books. And Diamond Nipan was asking for a much higher price. And Tama Krishna Maharaj was keeping the low, low price. And the Prabhupada interceded and said, well, that's not fair. That's too low. I think it should be a little higher. So Prabhupada kept on chastising his disciples, saying, no, it must be higher. So they came up with something like in the middle, the price that Prabhupada actually wanted. And Diamond Swan was going, and Brahma said, what about that? And he said, yeah, sure, Swamiji, we'll take that price. And then they all left. And there was one junior executive. Well, what they do in Japan, as soon as someone walks in, the head person walks in first. Actually, the junior person walks in first, puts his card down, the next walks in, puts his card down, puts his card down, puts his card down. Finally, the chief executive officer, he puts his card in the top. So then they all left and the most junior executive was there. And Prabhupada said, well, what's your ambition? What do you want to do with your life? So he took his card from the bottom and he put it on the top. That's material life. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. We have this example of Bali Maharaj who surrenders everything to Krishna, and of course everything is Krishna's. But how do we develop this faith that we also surrender everything to Krishna?
Well, just don't try and surrender everything. Try and surrender something. And if Krishna reciprocates with us, we develop a little bit of faith. Yeah, he's there. He's there. He's somewhere. Someone did it. I guess it must be Krishna. All right, he might be there. Okay. Try a little bit harder next time. It's not just a rumor. Something else?
Okay. From internet, we have a question from Avadutaraya Prabhu. Sometimes we say demons of the past were bigger than the Kali Yuga ones nowadays. But nowadays demons don't follow any religious principles, unlike demons in the past. In Chaitanya Bhagavatamrita Antyakanda 4.121, Lord Chaitanya speaks, "In this age the demons and yavanas who have no faith in me will also cry while chanting my names." Question. Does this statement pertain to all demons and yavanas of Kali Yuga, and how? If there is no faith, demons and yavanas can cry because of chanting. Please comment.
Well, as Prabhupada, I was listening to a lecture today, Prabhupada said, it's impossible everyone's going to become Krishna conscious. But at least a few of the demons, like ourselves, are in the process of becoming Krishna conscious. So maybe one day we'll cry. Especially when Prashadam's late, we'll cry. Anger for something, lament over something in relation to Krishna. Anything else?
Yes, from Bhakti Yoga Tilburg. Hare Krishna Maharaj, do only Shudras hanker and lament?
No, everyone hankers and laments, just according to what you're hankering and lamenting for. Brahmins may hanker and lament, may hanker for some peace of mind, study the scriptures, some knowledge, and lament that they don't know enough. And a Shudra is looking for a place, hankering for a place to sleep, lamenting he can't find it quick enough. So there's hankering and lamenting. And the devotees, they hanker for Krishna, and they lament they don't have him. Anything else? Kala Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande.